say Jesus. Happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter. Everyone just smile because y'all so pretty on it. Happy birthday. Thank you very much. It's my birthday today. Yes, thank you very much. God bless you. I'm old. I am 53 today, and I remember being thank you. I remember as a little kid, Easter was always on my birthday, so this is I'm having a flashback. So how's everybody doing today? Easter and Christmas. Easter and Christmas. We know this is the Super Bowl of all Christianity. It's even better than Christmas. Because him rising from the dead is the whole enchilada. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we should not be here. There is no Christianity; it's all a fake. But him rising from the dead sets everything apart. Sets him apart from every other religion, every other faith, every other Christian leader. Amen. Why don't you take a second and say hello to someone next to you? Give him a high five, some kiss. Sounds funny. One, two. Amen. One, two, three, four, five. And we want to say hello to everybody in North County and watching online, wherever you are. It's Easter in North County. God bless y'all. God bless you. I just want to make a couple things. How many of y'all are here for the first time? You're a visitor. You're a visitor. Amen. Let's give him a hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And if you are in church for the first time or a different, and this is your first time here, maybe you haven't been to a non-denominational church before, and it's loud and there's lights and people are standing up and they're raising their hand, and you're not used to that. And sometimes people, especially when you come to a place like this, you don't equate all that to church. So let me interpret some of that for you. The reason we raise our hands is because it's a form of surrender. And so that's what this means. We're surrendering to God. And the Bible says lift holy hands to God. So when the police point a gun at you and you lift your hands up, one of the things you're doing is not only are you saying you surrender, but you're also showing that you have no intent to do anything evil. You're showing your hands. Okay, that's really, I want to see my hands. When I was a kid in my neighborhood, my friends and I were sneaking through the yards in our own neighborhood. We had nothing to do. We weren't going to do anything, but we just wanted to sneak through yards. And, well, someone called the cops on us, and they came, and five houses from my house. And my dad's a cop, by the way, so I didn't want to get any trouble. And it was at night, so instead of doing this, I put my hands in front of the lights of the car because I wanted them to see I had nothing in my hands. So that's what that means. All the lights and this stuff, it's only a show if you stand and watch. But when we go to heaven, there's going to be lightning and thunders, and above the throne of God is a rainbow. It is going to be lights like you ain't never seen it in your life. So this is not a show. It's really kind of it's a preview of what heaven's going to be like. Heaven's not going to be, that ain't heaven. Angels sing, screaming day and night, 24 hours a day, praising God. So we're going to be screaming day and night, praising God, 24 hours a day. But again, if you just sit and watch, yes, it's a show. But if you could participate, then it's worship. So anyway, that's a couple things. Yesterday, we had an amazing event down at Petco Park. Amen. And again, if you're a visitor, just bear with us, because yesterday was Good Friday. Yesterday was the day where we celebrated Jesus' death. There would be no resurrection unless it was a death. And so we had our Good Friday service at the park, at Petco Park. So right behind the center field scoreboard, we had a service in the park at the park. And then in the parking lot, we had haircuts, manicure. I don't know if they had pedicures. I know they had manicures. Did they have mani-pedi? No, just mani? I never had a mani. I had a pedi. Right? The pedi's down there, right? Isn't the mani? Okay, so I got my feet did a couple times. We had so many people, homeless people, unhomeless people, feeding food. There were 15 ministries down there ministering to them. We had a blood drive. We gave 67 pints of blood. We had skateboarders. We collected, our goal was to collect 2,000 pounds of food. And I was on the news 2 days before, and I kept making a mistake saying we want to collect 2 tons. Instead of 2,000. Guess how much we collected? 2 tons. 4,000 pounds. 4,000 pounds. Now, I want to put that in perspective. I want to put that in perspective because what I'm getting ready to tell you is going to become, well, I'll just tell you. When the Chargers do a food drive at the stadium with 60,000, 70,000 people, they get 8,000 to 10,000 pounds of food. And when we do a food drive here in May, we get about 7,000 pounds each week for 4 weeks. So that's to put that in perspective. Y'all are some giving people, okay? So give yourself a hand. Amen. We had 4,300 people in the park. 4,300 people came. And again, it was Friday at noon. And so I don't know where these people were supposed to be at work, but they were there. We had about 130, 140 people come forward to altar call, whether it be in the park or at the parking lot. We gave out 1,180 free lunches. 1,500 care packages were distributed with toiletry, socks, and stuff to the homeless. 70 haircuts, 30 manicures. I should have read this. 15 ministries. 67 pints of blood. Amen. We had a goal of 60. Get 67 pints of blood. 627 volunteers. The offering went to God's Extended Hand Mission and the Monarch School. The Monarch School teaches homeless kids. They have a school for homeless kids in San Diego. So we split the offering between those two organizations, and we just gave. So let's give all yourself a big hand. And that was amazing. That was amazing. And pray, because if next year, if Petco Stadium's available, we're going to have all of our Easter services there one time in the morning over there. If it's available next year, we'll be at Petco Park. That'll be the bomb. Are you all excited? Yeah. Very good. Let's see your Bibles. If you have a Bible, lift your Bible up. Say, word. One more time. Give us the Easter word. Say, North County. Say, word. Very good. Let's turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke, I am your father. You also trip to say the same thing all the time. Y'all laugh all the time. Luke 23. And I also want to give a special word of encouragement, praise to our staff and volunteers. They work really, really hard. They were there Thursday night, and Friday morning setting up Petco. They broke down all day yesterday. They're going to be here all day today. We have two services tonight here, two services in North County that's happening right now, five services tomorrow. So let's give them a hand for all the work they're going to do. Amen. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Lord, we thank you so much for dying, and we thank you so much for raising from the dead. And I thank you for what you've done and what you're doing in the lives of the people here at the church. We pray that you would encourage us today and bless us as we acknowledge and are reminded and celebrate your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. In the wild, wild west, when a lawman, or the very few policemen they had back in the cowboy days, when they determined that someone was did something worthy of death, they would put out wanted, dead or alive, signs, and anybody, any regular citizen, could go find that criminal and catch him or kill him and get the reward. Because there were so few police, they would recruit regular people, non-police, to go find them. And so the criminals couldn't just run from the few police they had. They had to run from everybody. So they had a sign that said, wanted, dead or alive. And, you know, today we have police and, you know, FBI, et cetera. We don't need to do that. But back then they did. But today we have death row. And when you determine that someone's worthy of death, you put them on death row and you execute them as we have in this country. And yesterday we looked at the reason that Jesus was wanted dead. He was wanted dead in the minds of the Jewish people, because in their mind, he was blaspheming God, cursing God by the things he said and did. He called himself God. He did things only God can do. He forgave sin. He received worship. He healed people on the Sabbath day, which on the Sabbath day, you weren't supposed to do any work. And he claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be the Messiah who would come on the clouds. He gave himself the I am that I am name that God gave himself to Moses 1,500 years previous. And so they kept saying, we're going to kill you for all these things, and they finally did. And yesterday we talked about Jesus being wanted dead. Today we're going to be talking about Jesus being wanted alive. And the reason they wanted him dead is because they thought he had sinned. In other words, they killed him because they thought he had sinned and his sin was worthy of his death, when in fact he wasn't dying for his own sin, he was dying for our sin. The Bible says that he who had no sin became sin for us. And so they arrested him and they beat him. They ripped his clothes off. They whipped his back with 9 leather straps that with bone and metal chips in it that ripped the skin and muscle off the bone. They pulled his beard out. They put 2-inch thorns in his head. They punched him in the face. They spit on him. 2 of his disciples, one betrayed him, one denied him. They cursed him. They mocked him. They shouted out at his trial, crucify him and let a known criminal go free. And so he suffered in every way you can suffer for our sin. And then he said in Luke chapter 23, in verse 34, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And what he was saying was, they think that they're persecuting me because of me. But they don't understand that I have to die, but it's not because of my sin, it's because of their sin. And what Jesus wanted to make sure, and this is what the reason he sent preachers, is so people can understand the hope that his death and resurrection bring to us. And that he was not being punished for himself, he was being punished for us. And that if we don't get that, we'll miss it. So while these Jews were persecuting him, crying out, crucify him, and even saying, let his blood be on my head, they didn't realize they were condemning themselves to hell. But you need to understand, he says this, you need to know, you need to not know what you do. You need to know that Jesus died for our sin. Well, then he died. They put him in a tomb. Look what it says in verse 44. It was about the 6th hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the 9th hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. By the way, the veil was 30 feet high. It was thick like canvas, and it was torn from the top down. Well, one, you can't tear it. God had to tear it. It was so thick. And number two, it was 30 feet high, which is about as high as that ceiling is above me. God tore it from the top down. Why? Because inside the veil was the Holy of Holies, where one guy went, the high priest, one time a year to atone or ask for forgiveness for all the sins of the nation. Yom Kippur, you know that day, that word, Yom Kippur. And the high priest went in once a year, and if he made a mistake inside the Holy of Holies, he would die because he was in the presence of God, and he had to do everything perfect. No one else could ever go in there. Only one guy, one time a year. And so when Jesus died, guess what God did? He tore it from the top and said, now everybody has access to me all day. That's what he did that for. That's what it was about. Look what it says in verse 46. Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, Father, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Everyone say, Jesus died. He was wanted dead or alive. He had to die. Not for the reason they thought. He had to die to pay for our sin. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. So Jesus came to die to pay our penalty. He had no penalty. If you ever say God's not fair, you are exactly right. God is not fair. Because if he was fair, you would pay for your own sin. Because if you've ever said that person should get justice or that person should get paid for their own sin or they should get this, you better be careful because when you put your finger at someone else, you got 3 pointing back at you. Because if you say that person got to get what they deserve, then you got to get what you deserve. Now, let God deal with them. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, not us. We never know the whole story about what's going on. You ever watch those Nancy Grace or the trial shows, you always think, or 2020 or 48 hours, you always think you know we got it figured out, and then at the end you hear the other side of the story. One attorney gives one side, another attorney gives another side, and you think, oh, they did it. Maybe they didn't. Oh, they did it. Maybe they didn't. Like the guy in South Africa who says he thought there was a robber in the house and he shot his girlfriend through the door. Now, I don't know the whole story. But I don't know. That guy, there got to be a whole lot we don't know. And maybe there is, but you know what? You never know. Now, I think the brother did it, but that's just me. It's based on what I know. But I want to hear the whole story, but I'm not saying. But here's the point, is that if God was fair, he would stand you and say, here's all your sin. When Jesus was going to get arrested, he was praying to God and he was sweating blood. And he said to God, is there any other way that the sins of the world can be forgiven? And the Father said, no, you got to die. That's not fair. It's righteous. It's righteous. So look what happened in verse 50. There was a man of named Joseph, a council member, a good man, a just man. By the way, when you say council, think of our city council and think of Jerusalem being the size of downtown, and you're talking about maybe 100,000 people. We're talking a small town, and everybody knows who Joseph of Arimathea is. And it says in verse 51, he had not consented to their decision. Indeed, he was not in agreement with them crucifying Jesus. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and they took him down, wrapped him in linen, and laid him in a tomb that he was cut out of a stone where no one had ever been laid. So in other words, he says, I'm going to put him on my tomb. Everybody knew where it was. It wasn't a mystery. Everybody knew where it was. We have, I don't know how many cemeteries in San Diego. I should have counted, but I'm going to guess there's 100. But I'm just taking that number out of the air. But there's more than one. Amen? There's more than 20. Amen? Everybody knows where the brother's tomb was. So if you want to, and could we assume they knew, Pontius Pilate put guards in front of the tomb. They knew where it was. They put their Navy SEALs in front of the tomb. No, seriously, the Roman soldiers were the most highly trained fighting men on the planet. They put their guys in front of the tomb saying no one's going to steal the body, because if someone steals the body, they're going to say he rose from the dead. Soldiers can't hold Jesus in the tomb. Come on now. Look what it says in chapter 24, verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, that's Sunday. Everyone say Sunday. Do you know why we meet on Sunday? Because of this. Every single Sunday, the church meets to celebrate the resurrection. That's why we meet on Sunday. Jews met on Saturday. They said, now we're going to meet on Sunday. Why? Because he rose on Sunday, the first day of the week. Look what it says. The first day of the week, early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices, which they prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. People do that every single day. I'm sorry, I don't live in Jerusalem, so I don't know if they're open on Sunday, but I would assume this happens every single day. They collect money for people to go in the tomb and do what Mary did and look to see that he ain't there. They went in and did not find the body, and they haven't found him for 2,000 years. And it happened as they went, they were greatly perplexed about this, and that behold, two men stood by in shining garments. These were angels. And it says, they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth because they knew they weren't just fellas. Ladies, I know you might have met a man and thought he was an angel. He wasn't. Angels. And they bowed to the ground and said, what do you seek? Why do you seek the living among the dead? And they said, he is not here. He is risen. Everyone say, he is risen. Now, I want you to take a deep breath, and I want you to say this with all your might when you exhale, because this is, if Jesus is not risen, the Bible is a lie. I've been watching, I get in snippets of all these Bible, you know, Pierce Morgan and Pat O'Reilly, I think Pat Wright, whatever, and all these people talking about the Bible because it's Easter weekend. And they keep talking about the Bible as metaphors and not real stories. Because our culture is trying to convince you it's not real. That Jonah wasn't in the whale. There was no Noah. All that's just metaphor. No, no, no. It's real. Jesus is risen. I want you to just think about that moment. He is not dead. So take a deep breath in. Say, he is risen.
He is risen.
that is a very important fact. He is risen. I want to read something to you. 1 Peter. If you turn to 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. It says in 1 Peter, verse 3, blessed, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Everyone say living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, God is saying, I am giving you a hope that will never die, because the person who is going to fulfill your hope is never going to die. That means the promises God makes to you can never be broken, because he is eternally alive to keep them. There are people who are praying to something up there, and they're not sure whether he's listening, and they're not sure whether he can deliver, so they pray, and then they go take matters into their own hands. No, God is alive. And he says, I've given you a living hope because Jesus is risen from the dead. Because when he died, his disciples ran scared. People walk around depressed. Oh, we thought he was the Messiah. Oh, it's over. They thought it was done. And the disciples who ran for there to hide, because they were talking all this mess about Jesus being the Messiah, now he's dead, now they think people are going to come after them, and they're hiding. And all of a sudden, these same disciples who are hiding are out preaching, and every single one of them died for their faith. Why? Because they saw a risen Savior. Amen. And they said, we now know it's true. So one, he's giving you a living hope. Say a living hope. That means the hope that God has given you, that his promises are true, the hope for eternal life, the hope for abundant life, the hope for forgiveness, the hope for a sound mind, the hope for a vision, the hope for purpose, the hope for reconciliation can never die. And you're going to have days where you're like, man, life is messed up, man. And God says, nope, there's always good news around the corner. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. How many of y'all had a bad, bad day, thought your life was over, wanted to die, and then a few days later, you're like, I'm alive, it's all going to be okay, it's going to be okay. Amen? Can I get amen? Because you have a living hope. Matter of fact, look at this verse keeps saying. It says, he's given us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It says, to an inheritance in heaven. Now, my father was a police officer, my mother was a nurse, my parents were not, and as far as I know, are not wealthy. As far as I know. And I've asked, by the way. I said, you know, is there anything for me? I mean, I just want to make sure. Well, are we getting anything? Because my father, you know, he has cancer and he was going to die five times. Literally, three times the doctors told him you're going to die. Literally. Get your life in order. We thought he was done. So we were like kind of asking the questions. I mean, is this papers I'm supposed to have? Is this just something we're supposed to get? What's going to happen? He's like, nope, we don't have nothing. Am I going to have to pay for the funeral? I mean, how's this going to work out? he said, do whatever you got to do. I do whatever you got to do. I'm not getting an inheritance from him. He gave me some coins. I have no earthly inheritance, but I have a spiritual inheritance in heaven. And look what the Bible says about it. It's incorruptible. It's never going to be corrupted. It's never going to be defiled. It's never going to fade away. Ever. It's reserved in heaven. There is an inheritance for you reserved with your name on it if you have Christ. I don't know what it's going to be awesome. It's going to be better than what you got down here. I know some of y'all want to live by the beach. It's going to be better than that. I want to live in La Jolla. It's going to be better than that. I want to live downtown on the high rise overlooking Coronado. It's going to be better than that. Oh, you want to live on Coronado so you can look at the water? You want to live in the mountains, the desert, wherever, by the golf course? Ghetto. compared to compared to, because the streets are going to be made of gold. You buy gold, up there you're going to walk on gold. The gates to heaven are going to be pearls. I've never owned a pearl. Anybody, has anyone in here never owned a pearl? You know why? Because they're expensive. The gates are going to be pearls, big ones. Big ones. It's going to be heaven. You don't think this is, you think you got bling now? You ain't got no bling. It's going to be bling. So whatever God has for you, it's waiting. And we know it's true because the tomb is empty because Jesus is risen from the dead. He set it up and built a mansion for you. And not a mansion like you're thinking. Not a mansion like you're thinking. It's going to be better than the mansion you're thinking. And he's just waiting for it. It ain't going to get old. Technology, lights, all the stuff, cameras, action, you can have it like you ain't never had it. You think you got smart stuff now, all technology, ain't going to be nothing like up there. And turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the 7th book of the New Testament. Okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then you have 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 17, it says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, or a waste of time. You are still in your sins. In other words, if Christ is still dead, you and I have never been forgiven. If Christ is still dead, you and I are not forgiven because our sins haven't been paid for because he was not a worthy sacrifice for our sin because he's still dead. If he's still dead, you're not forgiven. That means you're going to hell. Thank God he's alive. Can I get amen? And then it says, but Christ is indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In other words, Christ's resurrection is a first fruits or the first sign of the rest of us to be raised behind him. Just as Christ was risen, so we who believe will be risen. And it's like, I know, I can't get that. I don't understand. How's that going to work? I have no idea. I don't know how. I have an idea. That don't mean anything. Just because you don't understand how it happened don't mean it ain't going to happen. How many of you understand how God made the heavens and the earth? You have no idea. You just know it's here. And it works. And it's awesome. And big and beautiful. So just because you don't understand doesn't mean it's not true. People say, well, you don't understand it, so it's not true. I don't understand how a baby grows in a womb. I don't know. And how a baby lives there for 40 weeks and doesn't breathe air and he's in water. I have no idea how that happens. But it happens. It happened. Every single one of y'all, none of y'all grew out of the ground. None of y'all evolved from a monkey. You didn't. You were created in the image of God. God's resurrection is assurance of our salvation, of our resurrection. And look at this last one, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. The resurrection gives us confidence to be bold, to come to God in prayer. When you pray to God, you should come to God with boldness, not arrogance, but confidence, knowing that God wants you to pray to him, that he wants to answer, not say yes, answer. All of us who have kids, you know your kids ask for stuff and you can answer every single one of their questions, but you don't always have to say yes. Mommy, can I have ice cream? No, that's an answer. Mommy, can I ice cream? Later, maybe, that's an answer. An answer doesn't mean yes. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. It says, since we have a great high priest, by the way, you remember the veil that was torn? We talked about when Jesus died, the veil was torn, and the high priest goes into Holy Holies once a year. That high priest was a foreshadow of Jesus, the great high priest. That's why they're referring to him here as the great high priest. It says, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, he couldn't ascend into heaven unless he resurrected. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. In other words, Jesus Christ died. He paid for your sin. He rose from the dead and proved his power over death. He rose from the dead and proved that there is a resurrection. He rose from the dead to secure a place and inheritance for you in heaven. He rose from the dead and intercedes and prays on your behalf every day. And because of that, he's saying, please come to me. Please pray to me. Please trust me. He's not going to force you. He's not going to yell at you. We preachers yell, but he doesn't yell. And we just yell out of passion and excitement, but we and urging you, please, to trust him. But it says because he extended it to heaven and because all those things are true, you can be confident that when you come to him humbly, he will forgive you. And you don't know what I did. Here's what I know about what you did. He died for it. And he's willing to forgive whatever you did. And he's willing to cleanse your heart, renew your mind, and restore a relationship with him that you never had before. That's what he wants. And so in a minute, we're going to pray, and I want to give you an opportunity to take advantage of the whole purpose we're here. You do not get any brownie points with God to come to church on Easter. Matter of fact, by coming to church on Easter, you further condemn yourself if you reject him, because what you're saying is, I know that he rose from the dead, yet I reject him anyway. So you can't claim ignorance. There are some people who come on Easter and Christmas. We call them Creasters. Oh, well, Jesus was born, so let me go to church. He rose from the dead, let me go to church. What you're saying to God is, God, I know all about you. That's what you're saying. I know all about you. Matter of fact, and I even know these two holidays are really important, so I'm going to go. But I'm not going to submit. God's going to like, ooh. So you know everything, but you reject it. That's even worse. In a minute, we're going to pray, and I want to encourage you to do what the Bible says, to come to God with confidence and boldly, knowing that he wants to love you. He's not mad at you. If he wanted to get you, he gets you. He don't need your permission or a prayer to have your permission to get you. He gets you. My wife was telling me recently about a pastor who died, and he had a very big church, and he was in a hotel with drugs on him, and he had, I think there was women involved, not his wife. And I said, oh, God took him out. God took him out. So I don't know how long he had been doing it, but God can take you out whenever he wants and be righteous. The only reason you're alive today is because God is patient. And he's just waiting. But at some point, he's going to say, enough is enough. Come to Jesus boldly. He rose from the dead. He's saying, I'm praying for you. I want relationship with you. But you have to come voluntarily. So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your death and resurrection. And Lord, on Easter, we acknowledge that you rose from the dead and that you are truly alive. And that you answer our prayers and that you love us. And I want to pray for people here in Point Loma, watching online in North County. People who they know that you rose, but they need to receive the forgiveness that your resurrection provides. If you would like to give your heart to Jesus Christ today and receive the salvation that he is offering you, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I want eternal life. I want to be forgiven. I want an eternal inheritance. I surrender my life to you. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand if you prayed that prayer, but there's another group of you here. You know Jesus as your Savior, but you need more of His life to consume your life. I want you to pray with me. Dear God, I surrender everything I know about myself to everything I know about you. Please consume my mind, consume my heart. I want the abundant life that you offer us. Thank you, God. If you prayed either one of those prayers, you're saying, I want new resurrection life, eternal, abundant, joy-filled life. I'm going to ask you right now to stand to your feet and acknowledge your surrender to God. Acknowledge your confession to God. God bless you. Very good. Stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you.